Off the meter, off the meter.
With Jimmy Failla.
I wish he could have been with me when I sat with a group of teenagers who were black.
From New York City, it's the Off the Meter radio program with Jimmy Failla. Reachable toll free at 855-236-2280. It's a big Friday on the show. We're in good spirits. We made it out of Atlantic City alive. Anytime I leave Atlantic City without masturbating into a cup, selling out a relative, honking my gold teeth, talking my wife into pawning that engagement ring that she doesn't know is cubic zirconia, anytime I leave town without doing one of those things, I'm in good spirits. And I have more reason to be happy because Adrienne Hamilton's going to be in the building for the full hour, for the full 2 hours. That's the kind of pull we have. She'll be on shortly. It's a big day on the show. Not only does J.L. Corvan stop by to tell us who he's mad at in comedy, Jonathan Randall, a man I took to see Gravity in Rochester, New York last week, a man that offered me marijuana, is going to come by to tell us what's going on in show business. Kenwood, of course, will help us break down the five biggest news stories of the day. You, the listener, will have a damn good time. Not a very good time, not a so-so time. The type of time that markets this show. Like, you will leave here today, call friends, and go, you gotta see this. Even though you can't, because it's an audio show. You can't see it, but you'd have to if you could. Joining me now in studio, a woman that's going to try to restore some sense to what I'm saying right now. Because I don't believe, to be fair, I don't believe any of it makes sense. I don't think anything I've said so far makes sense. I just think I have enthusiasm, and sometimes that's an arresting quality. But she is a damn good friend of the show. We fraternize in Facebook circles from time to time. We've shared the comedy stage every once in a while when my career takes a dip. But I'm a great friend of hers, whether she thinks so or not. Please welcome the lovely and talented, I stress both of those words, Adrienne Hamilton. How you doing, pal?
I am good.
I'm going to move you closer to that mic.
Okay.
Ken Wood, our producer, is a lousy producer. He would have told you that before you came on the air. But what? Don't look at his laptop because I don't know that you have the stomach for whatever he's looking at. What is it? Well, it's actually sports.
Ooh, scandalous.
I've never seen him offer somebody the laptop view. Usually that intimation ends with him booking out of the studio and taking a hostage.
Oh.
He'll put like a box cutter up to the throat of the first woman that walks by. There's usually some real depraved stuff. But how you doing, Adrienne Hamilton?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here before you give it all up and start hanging aluminum
siding. You were listening to the show the other day.
Oh, I was. The meltdown.
Oh, my God. I am quitting show business May 1st, if you're not familiar with the broadcast. I have a lot of things going on. There's a big old book coming out, a live comedy album, an audio book.
Right.
Like 20 some. There's a lot of TV coming up. Things are going on. So what I'm trying to do, Adrienne Hamilton, perhaps, is go out on top. Maybe I go out while, maybe I achieve relevance, because I'm not relevant. Yeah, I'm like the guy that goes on before the guy you've heard of. I work. It's a living. It's fun. Some people think I'm proficient at it. But the point is actual relevance, where everybody in the country knows who you are. Wouldn't it be cool to get to that and just leave?
Okay.
Like, I don't need it. I'll go back and drive my cab.
All right.
I don't know. That's where my head was at the other day.
Okay, but you're not there now?
Well, you know what it is now? I was just talking to you about quitting on top, and after last night's show, if I were to quit, I wouldn't be on top.
Okay, so hang in there.
I was at the Revel last night in Atlantic City, and this is a weird situation, and everything you need to know about how my night wound up going, because you do comedy, and you do it well, so let's get that out of the way. I'm a fan of what you do. That's what you're doing here.
Thanks.
Come on, I guess. I don't know if you take anything I say seriously.
Not really, but
and it's for the best.
Patronizing it.
But I'm at the Revel last night, and you know what I had? Sold out house, 300 people, but they were smilers. Do you know what a smiler is? As producer Ken Wood, do you know what a smiler is?
Tell me.
Well, in comedy, there are people that don't laugh; they smile.
Oh, they're the worst.
They're the worst because this is what happens: the acoustics of the room sound like you're bombing. But if you do bomb lines, they don't work because no one thinks you're bombing. They're collective smilers.
Yeah.
I had 300 of them last night at the Revel. So I had to literally punt on my act like 5 minutes in and become like a strolling minstrel and just go like table to table and make fun of them.
Oh, okay.
Like individually to get people invested in the jokes. I actually learned it from Lisa Lampanelli. We were doing a private.
Okay.
And it was just a terrible room for comedy. But, of course, she's the queen of mean. She wasn't going to accept that. So she just walked around table to table and just eviscerated everybody there. She delivered the comedy. I was basically wearing, like, a Domino's outfit. You know what it was like? It was like a magician at an Italian restaurant.
Okay.
Put up the rabbit ears if you'd like the magician at your table, kids. So anybody who put up the rabbit ears, Kenwood, I came over to their table and did crowd work last night. That's what I did. It was an awful gig.
Yeah, that's not top.
And I love the Revel. It's the nicest hotel in Atlantic City. Brad Stevens, the guy that runs it, as first class gets in this business. And I only deal with first class. I mean, you have a community college degree, no health insurance, and you shop at Old Navy. You're at the top. Okay, I only deal with the best. But the point is, as bests go, this guy's one of the best. He was fantastic. I love the gig, love the food, love the hotel. But 300 smilers is no way to live, Adrian Hamilton.
No, no.
Have you ever had that experience?
I have. Do you think it's that they just feel like everyone else is just smiling, so that's what just becomes the room?
You know what I think happens is this. I think a lot of times, especially in a casino, because the casino has, it's the most age-diverse group you'll ever play. There are 19-year-old gangbangers sitting next to 85-year-old oxygen tanks. You know, it's true. There's a Japanese high roller in the front row next to a Jersey mobster next to him.
Right.
Table next to him is a kid actually engaging in a handgun transaction. And the woman next to him is dead. She's actually dead. They couldn't get a funeral home, so they just laid her out at the Revel. And I think what happens is there's like this – people are uncomfortable.
Right.
Because everybody is sitting next to somebody. That's the one thing about a casino. A casino is the only place where you could see like a billionaire in a tuxedo is sitting next to a guy in a hockey jersey. Because they're just gambling at the same table. And I think that's what it is. I do think they're uncomfortable. Because jokes about how uncomfortable they are kill. Jokes about material, not so much.
Okay.
And I want to tell you something. And I don't know that you can say midget anymore. Can you say midget? Are you allowed to just say midget?
I don't think so.
Little people, dwarf. No, I'm not saying like in a derogatory sense. But whatever the term is, and I want to be fair. If it's little person, if it's dwarf, whatever it is, Kenwood, I'm not trying to get thrown off the air. But I've never had this in my life. But last night on the way to the gig, the guy who brought me into the parking garage was what you'd consider a little person or a midget. Just nice guy, Asian fella, as great as could be, sweet as pie. We talked about baseball because he was listening to the Tigers beat the A's.
Wow.
And then on the way out, the guy who got my gas, I got gas, was a Middle Eastern little person.
Wow.
Two in like 1 hour, which is, that's not normal.
No, that's not.
And maybe that's when I should have known it was going to be a weird night. Now, I'm not so much blaming them so much as I'm saying there's a statistical anomaly present. And when it comes to the casino, you've always got to read the road signs. Like, if you know, as a guy who used to gamble like 5-6 nights a week, I became very perceptive at like the universe telling me when I was going to win. Meaning like if you're like, all right, let's go to Atlantic City. We're going to make some money. Come on, we're going to do this. And then you sit in traffic 3 feet from your house. It's 2 hours into the drive. You haven't gone 10 miles.
Right.
The gambling gods are telling you to stay home. They're like, dude, luck is not with you today, dude. Stay home, you know? But when good things are happening, that encourages you to go. And I always found that in my winning trips, I had a lot of good road signs on the way down, meaning good developments that made life easier.
Right.
And in my losing trips the other way. Last night was not a winning trip or a losing trip. It was a weird trip, and those are weird road signs.
Yeah, I mean, we're not saying little people are...
No. I very rarely would see two of them in an unrelated context within an hour of each other working a job I've never seen them work before. And let's be fair, they've completely... They're integrated in the workforce. They're phenomenal. This is not a judgment. I'm not passing like a value judgment on their existence so much as I'm saying it's not something I encounter a lot. Both nice guys.
If they're wearing green, they're very good luck.
Hey, Ken Wood. And he walks out of the studio on that.
That's it.
He goes out on top.
There you go.
That was it. That was the theory. So if you're just joining us, I got 2 hours worth of Adrian Hamilton because I got that kind of heat, Adrian Hamilton.
Yeah.
And it means a lot that you came on the program. You claim to listen.
I do listen.
Where did you grow up? You grew up on Long Island?
I grew up on Long Island.
This is all I know about you.
That's all that there is to know.
What part of Long Island did you grow up in?
Huntington.
So oh,
right
is that true?
The border. Yeah.
I know where it is. Yeah. I grew up in Levittown.
Yeah.
We've probably thrown up on the same train.
Probably.
Like, I want to sing Somewhere Out There next time I'm puking on the train.
And then I'll be on the other side of the train.
Somewhere. But you live in Astoria now.
Yes.
What part of Astoria? I know it so
See,
well.
I live on the water in Astoria. So I live in...
Damn.
But you know what? Okay, yeah, damn. You're right. That is pretty cool. But there's nothing around me.
Yeah, I know.
It's just houses.
It's like if you live in the water, they developed the hell out of the west side of Manhattan, like 42nd Street.
Yeah.
So you're now like six avenues from a subway.
Yeah.
I don't mean a subway sandwich shop. I mean mass transit.
And a subway sandwich shop.
And a subway sandwich shop.
Yeah. I have to like stock up on things. I feel like I'm so far removed that I need to like, you know, I'm like in the storm shelter where I live.
You're the old woman who watches the Weather Channel.
Yes.
It says rain on Thursday. Let's get 38 cans of soup.
I need to.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. How long have you been there?
I've been there for 2 years.
What do you take in? Like, to come to the studio, we tape on 23rd and 6th. Yeah. What do you take into the studio?
Take the N train, the NRQ.
You N it all the way in.
Yeah.
I like your style. You know why I ask people when they come on? Because I want to know, like, how appreciative I should be of you being here. Like, if you tell me it's like a 2-block commute, go F yourself. If you tell me there's like 2 trains involved, I'm flattered. It means a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So you get all of those verbal bouquets tossed in your direction. So, yeah, it's a weird day. I have a book coming out, as you know, a New York Times best-selling book.
I'm excited.
That might be presumptuous of me, but I'm going with it. And I had to, like, meet with PR people all like, afternoon. So I'm like Joe Sporco right now. And I think as a person who comes from Levittown, from Long Island, you know that a guy like me only goes sport coat if there's a court case or a funeral.
Right, or church.
Yeah, maybe church. But it has to be, like, a ceremony.
Yeah.
It has to be like a confirmation, a communion.
Christening.
Christening. Maybe Christmas. But you don't always have to do the sport coat on Christmas.
No. People wear shorts in church now.
Oh, church. Now, forget about it. Jesus has on like a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, they're just happy we showed up.
The crucifix is texting now. They're so uninvolved. They have nothing to do. Nobody's invested in it on any level. And the muscle is riding in. And I'm going to go right now. This gentleman joining me now. A gentleman who spent the weekend in Rochester with me. He is our entertainment, our senior correspondent to entertainment, if you will. He is a fantastic stand-up comedy. You're a fantastic stand-up comedy. Where is my diction? Where did my diction go?
I'm a whole genre. Thank you, Jimmy.
This
I
man
appreciate it.
Is a walking genre. And we're thrilled to have him on the program. Please welcome Jonathan Randall. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing so great. Hi. I don't know
Adrian
you.
Hamilton.
Jonathan nice
Randall.
You.
I'm a little out of sorts. I was coming from a meeting. I got here like really late. I was in Atlantic City last night. I was playing a crowd of Smilers. Have you ever played Smilers?
Yes.
Are they the worst people in the world?
I used to think they are, but now I've kind of grown to like them.
Do you like
know?
Them?
Yeah, they're happy. They're having a good time. They're not, you know, you can't take it personally. They're not vocal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you have to just go with it. Play for what it is.
There's nothing like leaving a showroom like physically capable of quitting the business and having everyone be like, you were great.
That is the best part.
Yeah, that's like, the really? Funniest thing.
Instead of telling me out here, why don't you laugh yeah. in there?
As I hurl myself in front of the Feng Hua that leaves the Taj Mahal at midnight. I'm like, for an extra 20, can you back over my face?
Yeah, and they have no sense of humor on the Feng Hua.
No, no. But the driver was like, you were great. And I was like, oh, thank you. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, yeah, if you're just joining us, we got Adrian Hamilton. We got Jonathan Randall. I know we have to talk entertainment in a little bit, but I want to say this. We were in Rochester last week. The movie we saw, Gravity, and I'll
it's
ask J.L. Corvan
right?
when he comes on.
I loved it.
But listen to me. I saw it twice now because Jenny wanted to see it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so.
It's a lot of space.
It's a lot. It's a lot of space. People love it. Rolling Stone loved it. They gave it great reviews. They wrote a flattering article. I think J.L. likes it. I don't know. I don't know that he does or he doesn't. I think J.L. loves it, but a lot of people liked it. Having seen it twice now, I cannot forgive George Clooney for how much Clooneying he did. He did an offensive amount of Clooneying in that movie.
He Cloonies it up.
He Cloonied the shit out of that place.
You're
like he
so
does,
right.
He is like, all right, he's about to die and fly off to space, and he's not emoting, he's not sad, he's not contemplative, he's not introspective. He's just hitting on her in the same ER shtick. It was ER in space. They're operating on somebody who just got shot. I can't see it past your pretty brown eyes. They're blue. You're dying, George. How about something like that? But instead he was like live tweeting his float off into the abyss.
That was the worst part of the movie, I think.
He was terrible. He yeah. should not have been. They should have. First of all, there's two problems with it. We all have an idea in our head of what astronauts look like, and they don't look like that. And I know this is escapism, but haven't we escaped enough? We're on the space station. We're in space. There's enough escapism already. I couldn't get away from like how good looking they are and just how witty the banter is as like a meteor shower is coming their way.
They're very funny.
George Clooney could have made that an amazing movie if he gave us like real vulnerability, like, oh my God, you know, freaked out. But instead he just Cloonies it right through.
Well, you know, Robert Downey Jr. was supposed to play that role.
And he might have
backed out, I guess, because of some schedule conflicts.
Well, Dean Imperial, who's as connected in screenwriting as you could be, said that the people said that the script was terrible, like really disjointed. The fact that George Clooney dies 20 minutes in, which is weird. You know
Spoiler
what I mean?
Spoiler alert.
He just comes on screen, hits on her, gets told he's going to die, and then tries to finger bang her all the way into the abyss. Like, what is this a comedy? What's going on?
I think Robert Downey Jr. would have done the same thing, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're the same type of guy.
He would have.
They want to flirt on the screen.
But I mean, what I'm saying is I get them wanting to do it, Adrian Hamilton. I just didn't want to watch it. Like, having seen it a second time, it's offensive.
Oh, wow.
The first time we saw it on IMAX. I'll tell you what else is offensive. There are some theaters that have the IMAX experience, but you're watching it on a regular screen. It's you're paying $19 to sit there and watch this effing show. I was watching it. I watched it with Randall in Rochester, and the screen was the attracting. That screen was so big. It was like if they put on nothing, we would have stared at that for like 2 hours.
We were like in that movie.
Yeah, we were in the movie. It was a skyscraper. I remember him saying to me when she goes through reentry, he's like, I thought I was going through reentry.
I felt it. I like really felt it.
He was also high, though. Like he had smoked within an inch of his life. He smoked enough that he had a Jamaican accent for no, like involuntary. But no, that screen was amazing. I took Jenny Fala to see it in the UA Westbury 12. It's a regular screen. It's like a guy holding up a bed sheet projecting Super 8s. I was like, how is this IMAX 3D? And the 3D sucks on that level. So I was mad. But in any event, if you just joined us, Jonathan Randall's in studio. Adrian Hamilton's in studio. Every Friday he likes to come by and give us an entertainment report. So when we come back on the show, we're going to do exactly that right here on the Big Bad One and Only Off the Meter Radio Program.
Off the meter, off the meter.
With Jimmy Fallon.
It's a big, fat, big-titted hit!
Fact. During the course of this commercial, over 50 million Americans will have their identity stolen. Fact. Millions of cyber criminals are working tirelessly to steal your credit and destroy your good name.
My boss Googled my name the other day, and I couldn't believe what he found. I was fired on the spot.
Your reputation is far too important to take a chance. So protect yourself with Identilock. Identilock is an impenetrable wall of web security that will protect you and your family, even if you've never even used a computer.
I don't see how this could have happened to me. I've never been on the internet, and my daughter don't even like horses.
So what are you waiting for? Get Identilock and get safe. Before it's too late. She just bought an apartment in Soho, by the way. Lafayette Street, Rihanna. Coming to you live from New York City, the Off the Meter Radio program, Jimmy Fallon, guy who has a cab license. And host a radio show. And I'm not stalking Rihanna. It was actually in, like, the New York Post today.
Wow.
She's leasing a $39,000 a month apartment.
$39,000
a month. It's a $14 million apartment. She's leasing it for $39,900.
Wow.
So I don't know.
She's so smart.
She's saving her money. She's not going to the IMAX 3D.
No.
I mean, I've been had talking about the movie Gravity. I should have paid regular theater price. Not even a discount for 11:30 in the morning. $19 American to take my wife to a movie.
We're paying in cash.
Do you know how demoralizing it is to blow $19 on a girl at the movies that you know you can bang? I'm kidding.
I'm surprised you went with
her
to see it again.
You big fat slob. Excuse me. Maybe I shouldn't.
I'm like, sorry, Jenny, we're married. You only get entry-level films. You don't get new releases. Oh, she's the best. Shout out to Jenny Fallon. Jonathan Randall comes on the show every Friday. He talks entertainment. What are we talking about? What's happening, Chad?
All right, well, the first thing we should talk about, I think, is graffiti artist Banksy. He's in town for the month.
This is a big thing.
He's
People
doing
are freaking
it all
out.
Over New York. People are really excited. He has an exhibit that he's doing called Better Out Than In.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing graffiti all around the city and in Brooklyn. And I think what's really funny about it is in Brooklyn, apparently, some guys are trying to make money off his graffiti. And they're like standing there covering the graffiti with cardboard and refusing to let anybody see it or take a picture with it unless they pay them $20.
How about these guys?
That's innovative.
These guys are – listen, we know it's scummy, but it's also a very enterprising move, to be fair.
Seriously.
It's kind of funny, you know, all the hipsters are, like, coming out and tourists are, like, taking cabs to this bad neighborhood to take a picture, and these guys are like, hell no, you know? Like, that'll be $20.
That's amazing.
And we have dime bags available.
You give him credit, though, because in terms of, like, a guy who's done a good job of word-of-mouth marketing, the idea that we don't know who he is and everything, I mean, the art's really cool and provocative and stuff, but the fact that we don't know who he is the whole allure of the thing, wouldn't you say?
I mean, it's pretty amazing that he's been able to stay, like, anonymous after all this time, release a documentary, really good, actually, through the gift shop.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's badass.
And, you know, all the stars love him. You know, he's like a commercial success graffiti artist.
Without being known.
without anyone.
You know, I was talking about quitting the business the other day because I said I want celebrity money without celebrity notoriety. Maybe I have to become the next Banksy.
That's your
drive around in my cab. I got to rip the GPS out of my cab so they can't track the cab, and go do art installations in a cab.
Okay.
What do you call me? I can't be Banksy, obviously. Meter man? Because it's a cab. Oh, God.
Well, didn't they have a comic like that? He used to do stand-up with, like, a paper bag over his head.
The unknown comic.
The unknown comic. Yeah. Wow. That's,
and nothing good happened to him.
Nothing good happened to him.
Still unknown.
Maybe he made a few bucks and they left him alone. What else is going on, champ?
A California punk band called Get Shot filmed a porno on the lawn of the West Borough Baptist Church.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
That went on?
Yeah, that went on.
Where was the Westboro Baptist Church? They're probably, like, protesting it at, like,
at a gay soldier's funeral.
Yeah, a gay soldier. Like, something I was going to say. They were burning a flag in front of a deceased gay man's arrival to Andrews Air Force Base.
And meanwhile, a bass player was naked masturbating
now, did
on
they,
their lawn.
Did they do gay porn, or did they just do...
No. Apparently, it was just a girl masturbating naked.
Boo. I mean, it's cool because it's still in their face. But they're ripe for some gay porn on the lawn. Can we agree?
Better, yeah.
Is there anyone gayer than the male members of the Westboro Baptist Church?
No.
No. You can't be that homophobic. You just can't be. We say it a lot on the show. But if you're that anti-gay that you're willing to go to a military funeral and protest,
you're thinking about gay too much.
There's a little, gays on. You got a little too much gay on the brain.
Yeah.
Just go to Fleet Week. Get it out of your system.
No, for sure. That's what always happens with all the people that are, like, against gay marriage and stuff. Then you find them, like, in bathrooms.
Do you know,
like,
what I did in my 20s? I did this in my 20s. Every bad idea or borderline bad idea I ever had, I acted on. Because you want to know something. And everyone listening to the show, both of you, but everyone listening to the show, it's the truth. If you have any semblance of an idea that you think might be borderline, just go do it. So you're not burdened by it the rest of your life, wondering what it would have been like or why you shouldn't have did it. Or that, you know, any crazy idea. I'm not even talking sexually. I'm talking anything. Stand business, out. Drug, gambling, travel. Just do it. Because that's the end result. If you don't, you're the Westboro Baptist Church. There is so much repression in the Westboro Baptist Church.
I agree with that.
What else you got, champ?
Well, today's a National Come Out Day. Do you guys know that?
Yes.
Apparently it's a big deal. I know in New York we just call that Friday. But so I guess I got some gay movie news.
Come on, gay movie news.
Lee Daniels, the guy who did Precious, and now he has this movie The Butler out in theaters.
Yeah.
He's planning to do a new buddy action movie where the buddies are more than just buddies. They're an interracial gay couple.
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting for this.
Yo, we got to get them bad guys and cuff them up. That ain't all I want to cuff. Now that we got the bank robbers, do you want to snuggle? Like, that's going to go on? They're going to make, like, a gay buddy cop movie?
Yeah.
I don't think it works because I think the whole dichotomy of buddy cop movies is that they're polar opposites and they hate each other.
Well, I don't think they want it to be so much buddy cop as, like, action thriller, like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Or
really?
Mr. and Mr. Smith.
Really? Oh. Because these costumes the superheroes wear aren't opulent enough?
It's like
really?
The ambiguously gay duo on SNL.
That's what
I've been waiting for. This is the most exciting news.
This is well, you then if you like that, you might like this one. Paul Feig, who did like Freaks and Geeks and the Bridesmaid movie, he's also developing a gay rom com starring Channing Tatum.
Whoa, Channing Tatum's gonna play gay in a rom com.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow, that's going on. So this is it's getting very gay.
Hey, it's National Come Out Day.
Might as well go for it, and we support it. We're not picketing any funerals. We got a call coming in. Hold on a second. Ricky. Oh, good gosh. Okay. Ricky in Philadelphia. Ricky in Philadelphia, you're on the air with the Off the Meter program. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Very good. You're a little choppy, sir. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. What's happening? What's on your mind?
Not too much. But they're making a buddy cop gay movie.
A buddy cop gay movie is what he said. They're buddies. They're like dueling superheroes that gay it up and save the world.
That's crazy. It's gonna be great.
You think it's gonna be good?
Brokeback Weapon. It's gonna be fantastic.
What'd you call it? Brokeback what?
Weapon.
Brokeback Weapon. All right, not bad.
I don't know.
Not bad.
They're not necessarily going to be cops.
They don't have to be cops. But, listen, man, your heart's in the right place on this one. But you're saying you support this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, we need more.
Wait, what is the basis for more? That I don't get.
Well, there's none of it right now.
What channel? I mean, I guess. But what's weird, because TV is very gay and at the same time not gay at all. Is that what you're saying? Because you got like,
yeah.
I mean, you have a lot of gay
stars. Yeah, the last movie that came out with two, you know, the last mainstream Hollywood movie to come out with two gay stars was in 2006. It was a long time ago.
Oh, okay. Because you're not counting like the Liberace movie or something like that.
Oh, first of all, that was a made-for-TV movie and it was terrible.
Actually, that was a made-for-the-garbage-can movie that wound up on TV. I think there was a misunderstanding on that one. But Ricky and Philly, I want to say this, man. You know, it's good to hear an alternative lifestyle get an endorsement in this day and age, although it's very popular to support gay
people.
I
just want to send a little shout-out to your Giants up in New York.
All right, that's all the time we have for Ricky on our show. I hope you guys lose out the rest of the way, you bastard. I'll see you soon, and thank you for the call, Ricky.
Thanks for putting me on.
Ricky in frickin' Philadelphia shouts out. Listen, this is the point with the Giants, too. We're past it. The season's been over for like 3 weeks now. Now it's just we're descending into different levels of chaos. You know, what else you got, Randall, by the way?
Well, first of all, I want to see like a...
And if you just joined us, Jonathan Randall, Adrian Hamilton in studio. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I want to see like a gay Pixar Disney character movie, you know?
Oh, that's even better.
That's what we really need.
Oh, man.
Toy
Story? but it's Toy Story with sex toys?
With gay sex toys?
Yeah. Oh. Instead of Woody the Cowboy, they got the rabbits.
There's
got
to be a porn like that.
Oh, there's some anime out there where Buzz Lightyear is bending over Woody. That is absolutely going on. I just pissed off all of Frontierland in Disney World. Go ahead. What do you got?
Sunday, The Walking Dead's back with season 4.
Come on.
Yeah, and if that's not enough zombie for you, they're actually doing a spinoff, I think, next year.
A spinoff on The Walking Dead?
Spinoff of The Walking Dead. I guess it's going to be like in The Walking Dead universe, like another group of survivors fighting zombies.
Oh, my goodness.
It don't make no motherfucking sense.
They just keep spinning off.
They keep going.
They just spin. It's, you know.
Hey, we got a good idea. Let's see how much more money we can make out of this good idea.
Yeah, that's the one thing you have to praise us for. Like, we're this as entertainment pimps, the American pop culture is the most ruthless pimp. You know the pimp that makes his women work on the snow Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
That's who we are with content. Like, there's no limit to how far we will whore these ladies out.
Yeah.
Sequels, reboots. The reboot is the most offensive thing to the sensibility.
The reboot is pretty bad. I don't like that.
We've made 9 of these. This is not a 10th. It is a reboot.
We're starting all over. It's a fresh start for Jack Ryan.
9 guys have played him. How many Spider-Men have we had?
I think the prequel is also annoying.
Oh, the prequel, kill yourself. Just all right. We made a movie. We liked it. Let's move on to a new series.
Yeah, I don't need to know what happened to them before the cool thing happened to them.
No, it's true. Now they're doing it like, you know, with the Star Wars movie, Disney wants to just like have like a character movie like before and yeah. even Boba Fett the movie, all about just this one character.
That sounds like a Bridges of Madison County with Boba Fett. Like, we don't need these. God, this is out of control. Is there anything else happening?
Well, Breaking Bad might be over, but you're probably going to be seeing a lot of Walter White soon because it turns out that Breaking Bad costumes are the number one Googled costume for Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to know something? I know this because I have a 4-year-old kid. The Minion from Despicable Me 2 is the kid costume. I was going to ask you what the adult costume is.
Yeah, yeah. All the kids want to be the Minion. And then right after the Minion, actually, is Breaking Bad.
Well, of course,
Bad.
I'm saying for adults, it's Breaking Bad. I was wondering what it was. So the Minion was one, and it's not an election year, because usually it's presidential masks in an election year, which that's the one good thing about Halloween in an election year is you can really mail it in.
Yeah.
And just like if you're a Democrat, you show up as Mitt Romney. If you're a Republican, you show up as Obama. Ha-ha, and you're back to doing what you do best, you know? But it's hard because Walter White, how do you make that slutty?
I don't know. Yeah.
How do you make a slutty Minion? I mean, it's Halloween in New York City.
Sluts will figure it out.
They will figure it out. They'll be wearing like yellow G-strings.
They know how to do it.
That's so funny. Whatchamacallit. I will say this, though. I went to a Halloween party last year, but a controlled Halloween party, like someone's apartment where I knew there was going to be 12 people.
Oh.
We were just going to hang out. No, but it wasn't like that. It was like a Halloween party. We didn't have to put on a costume. We were just hanging out. It was Halloween. It was actually good. Pat Dixon was there. It was fun. But I haven't done like a Halloween. When was the last time you did a Halloween, Randall? Do you do a Halloween?
No. I'll go to like a party. Maybe I'll put on the same costume that I got for like doing some student film 3 years ago or something.
Oh, that's so funny.
I
How
do
about
Halloween,
you?
Yeah.
Do you do Halloween?
Last year
what
I
do
was...
you go? So what slutty thing were you for Halloween?
No, I'm more original than that, Jimmy.
What do you mean? You have a tramp stamp.
I
so
know.
No matter what
you and you always bring
no,
that up.
No, what you're doing for Halloween, you're doing it slutty. You're doing it slutty no matter what because you have a tramp stamp. So what were you?
I was Champ from Anchorman.
Oh,
I was a dude. And then the year before that, I went as a golden girl. So
did you go as a golden girl
I did.
With a
it
tattoo?
Was B. Arthur. Yeah, with a tramp stamp.
Hit granny in the fanny.
Those aren't very slutty. Well, you know, BuzzFeed released, like, the worst slutty costumes that they have recently. And, like,
right.
they're pretty bad. It's like Bert and Ernie, like, slutty Bert and Ernie, slutty George Washington.
Is that true?
Yeah, these are, like, real costumes that, like, the girls have, like, slutty bacon.
Slutty bacon? How are you slutty bacon?
Just.
I give up. Really? Like, just shut up, Halloween.
I have decided to kill myself.
Where
I'm going to blow my brains out
away.
Right on this program.
Oh, Randall. Are you in town this weekend or are you leaving?
No, I'm in town.
Oh, that's awesome
I'll
news.
Be around.
I love that. I love your style. It's funny stuff. I'm at Gotham tomorrow. I'm actually off tonight because I was supposed to stay in Atlantic City and do some. I was headlining a Revel last night. It's a great gig. We talked about it already. It has convinced me to quit comedy. That's so
right.
great. But I was supposed to walk over to the Borgata and fill in and do a thing. And I came home. This is me being a good dad and came home and saw my kid because he's leaving for Cleveland because he's going home. So I went I did a good dad thing. You know what I mean? I know how to strategically act good so I can win a custody battle someday when
right.
I bolt. It's all about peppering, you know, the atmosphere with good deeds. And then one day I can just bolt.
Well, that's good. You don't want to end up like Chris and Bruce Jenner, you know?
Oh, that's a whole mess, huh?
Separated, huh?
That's a whole to-do.
You can't find love on a reality show. What chance do any of us else have?
Follow Jonathan Randall on Twitter, please.
At Jonathan Randall.
Be his friend on Facebook, please.
Be my friend on Facebook. Come out to Point of No Return every Thursday at Old Man Hustle.
He has done the show with our next guest, who's coming on in 1 second.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Joining me now in studio, after a brief timeout, and if you're just joining us, Adrian Hamilton, my best friend in the business.
Yeah.
2 hours in studio today. We've hung out socially once at the Gotham Christmas party. I threw up in her purse. That's not true, but I was banged up at that party.
That's how friendships begin.
Get down to the Gotham Comedy Club tomorrow night. See the champ in action. Be telling some jokes. There's some silly things going on. And if that doesn't work, you should buy my book. It's available for pre-order on BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, IndieBound.org. Tomorrow we begin production on the audiobook version of the show, of the book.
Are you doing the audio?
Oh, you better believe it.
Nice.
We're going to try to win a Grammy. Like, we're going to do a real radio play with, like, sound effects and craziness and stuff like that.
So why don't you get someone with, like, some clout to do the audio?
We're going to. But I'm saying we're still going to call the shots.
Okay.
Like, we're going to let somebody master the audio, but we're going to call, we're going to run the offense. And why don't you let me ask the damn questions around here?
Sorry.
It's Off the Meter with Jimmy Fallon, not Adrian Hamilton is a pain in the ass. Although that would be a catchy show because I think everyone would relate. Joining me now in studio, a man who comes by every Friday. Some people know him as the angriest man in show business. Some Ooh. People know him as the mayor of the Joshua Tree on the east side of Manhattan. And a guy, I'm going to take the task on something because a fellow who co-hosts this show, Dean Imperial, liberal arts professor to the stars.
Yeah, where is he?
Goes out drinking with Jay. I'll get into that in a minute. He'll be back in studio tomorrow. Okay. Start working on the audiobook. He's got some goings on. He's not going anywhere. We don't have that kind of luck. But he goes out drinking with J.L. Carvan. J.L. Carvan is on the show. Let's get that out of the way first. And it's good to see you, by the way.
Good to see you.
The show has a very it's a weird feel to the show today. We're a little out of sorts. I got here really late coming from a gig. I was at a meeting. I'm wearing a sport coat that weirds everybody out.
The TA is in place of the professor.
Yeah, the TA's in place. Yeah, that's funny. The TA is in place of the professor. But J.L. Corvan goes out drinking with Dean Imperial last week. All I know about how it went down is you guys go to a bar, you have a few drinks, and then you call in like a friend.
No.
Oh, I thought you had like a friend show up.
No, a friend declined to show up.
Is there anything we can't discuss on the air before I out you on this? Because I didn't mean to do that to you, but you look very uncomfortable.
No, I'm fine.
So the guy you called didn't show up? Because I thought you and Dean were meeting for like, hey, we kind of hit it off on the show. Let's go drinking. Then I found out you were bringing in some guy as like a backup.
No.
In case my co-host wasn't any good social. Like, what is that?
No. I had called a friend. He bailed, but he had asked a while back. And I figured it wasn't going to be a one-on-one meeting, and it turned out to be a one-on-one meeting.
Okay.
So
that went on. All right, because I just want to double cheat. You know what it is? I don't mean to go Peter Cetera and be the man that will fight for your honor.
Oh, there you go.
But I'm fighting for the guy's honor. He co-hosts my show, and he may not be here today.
Ask him how much he paid for his drinks if he wants to
complain. Well, I know you're hooked up, but he had a wonderful time. He's not complaining about any of it. But the fact that he paid as little as he did for his drinks is a disturbing commentary on your state of being. Because that means you must be drinking there an awful lot, is what I'm trying
to say. Not anymore, but I've put in years of work, so now I don't have to go in as frequently.
Oh, and it's still like, okay.
Yeah, no, it also
it's
helps.
Like, that's funny. It's like your Joshua Tree is like me with the comic strip.
There you go.
Like, I have to show up like five nights a week, whether I was doing spots or not. Now it's like, yeah, I'll just.
Right. If only I had that same clout with the place that actually did comedy.
Well, stop boozing with my co-host and write some more jokes.
But here's the thing that happened. I also, game seven of the NBA Finals, I got into a barroom brawl defending the honor of the bartender.
Oh,
so
I
now,
get it.
It was almost like, hey, he's not coming here quite as frequently, but you know what?
Oh.
He stepped up when stepping up needed to be.
Yeah, I didn't know that that's your history there.
Yeah. That was game seven of the Finals. This group of douchebags from either Jersey or Long Island.
It's the same place.
Literally 5 minutes left in the game, and they're just in the face of the bartender. And I said, hey, you know, just blah, blah, blah. Like, and not confrontational. And then the guy clearly wanted a fight, so I threw him to the ground.
Whoa, then, who's this guy?
No, but then his two friends, because I didn't want...
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
I wasn't going to throw a punch, because I'm not looking to do damage.
Okay,
and then
whoa.
His two friends grab me from the back. He shoots for the legs like a wrestler.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just a three-on-one scrap on the ground.
What is this, like Barfly with Frank Stallone? Like, what is a JL Call Van Night Out? This is insane.
No, it's the first fight I've been in decades.
Wow.
So, yeah, yeah. And then six of them showed up outside the door later, and bouncer just to keep
That's
it moving.
Insane. If you're just joining us, JL Call Van, Bar Vigilante. Defender of the bartender is in studio along with Adrian Hamilton. We have a call coming in, so let's just open up the phone lines. I should warn you if you're new to the program, and chances are you are. Why? Because we don't get any repeat listeners. We say that a lot. We don't have a call screener. Who knows what's on the other end of this? Who knows what circle of conversational hell we're about to delve into?
Isn't that the number of the guy who called last time?
No, that's the host number. Hey, you there? You're on the line. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Jeff,
you're a little scratchy, man. I don't know where you're calling me from. I don't know that it's our feed either, because we had a scratchy call earlier in the broadcast. Can you hear us?
I'm calling from Westbrook, Kansas.
From Kansas?
Whoa.
Westbrook, Kansas.
Westboro, Kansas. We know what that implies. And what's on your mind in Westboro?
Yeah.
I emphasize Westboro, Kansas.
I'm disparaging the Westboro Baptist Church, and I got a problem with that, sir.
It's not so much that we're disparaging. If I'm disparaging anything, sir, it's the connection of the phone call. I'm disparaging your cell phone provider at this point. I wasn't so much disparaging your
church. Well, I'm on the phone right now, sir, so maybe you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
This is what I want to do, okay? Because I think this conversation's worth having, but I can't hear you particularly well. If you're willing to call back, I will interrupt whatever it is we're doing on the show. And we have a monster guest coming on. Like, by the standard of this show, this is our Super Bowl. And, I'm willing to interrupt all of this if you want to talk Westboro Baptist Church on this program. We just don't. I mean, your audio feed's not that good. But I will say this before I lose you, if you can hear me. I am on record as saying anyone that is that demonstrably anti-gay is kind of gay. That's all I'm trying to say.
I agree with that.
And that's it. But and the president agrees. And you're welcome to call back, and we can have this point. But if you're going to be that demonstrably anti-gay, you have to know, as a perceptive guy who drove a cab, you know, I'm on to you, Holmes. And please call back. Have the whole church call back. Okay,
yeah.
How's that?
That's great.
We'll set up a tombstone. You guys can make yourself at home and stand around it and spit at it. It'll be great.
I'm ranking this as my, without question, worst appearance on this show.
You're great on the show. We love you on the show. You've done, in the last 2 weeks, you reviewed your own comedy album, which we thought was ingenious. And then you picked a fight with the highest paid man in comedy, according to him.
Yeah.
Dan Ninen.
He's the Jeff Dunham of corporate work.
What I don't know what the funny thing about Dan Ninen is he keeps messaging me.
Yeah.
And I'm an equal time guy. Like, you came on, and it was a straight WWE. He came on and just really went to town on this guy. Yeah, it was very one-sided. He hammered Dan Ninen. We laughed at it. We endorsed a lot of it. But I immediately called Ninen and said, hey, we did this on the show today. You're welcome to refute it. You're welcome to have a platform. But he won't address it, but he just keeps sending me more content. Like, I have the Dan Ninen box set now.
Right.
With the blooper reel, the deleted footage, I have everything. And whatchamacallit, but he won't come on the show. I would love to get him on the show. He's fascinating because what happened was, you told me he was a guy that would troll around comedy sites, pick fights with comics, and then once the venom came his way, he would just start messaging you claims to how much money he's making that weekend or how profile the gig is. So basically what's happened is you came on my show, you did my show, you had a lot of interesting things to say about him. He responded by doing exactly what you accused him of doing. He keeps sending me links and like, I'm willing to show you a bank deposit slip. I'm willing to show you this.
Yeah, it's he and the Westboro Baptist Church would get along great.
Oh, no. Don't piss that guy off because he's coming. Oh, man, he's on hold again. Want to try it? Our host line. Let's go. Let's see. Here we go, boys. Kansas, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's on your mind now? And I'm
sorry. Carry on, my wayward son.
Well, yeah. I just want to know why you folks have such a problem with an institution whose sole purpose and statement is to keep souls out of hell.
That's the most creative way I've ever heard that hand. That is genius articulation.
It's the bedside manner, I think.
But no, you know, yeah, and you know what the problem is? I think the problem is, okay, that's a noble, profound way to say it. You're trying to keep souls out of hell.
That's all we want to do. That's all we're trying to do. Think hell is nice? Yeah, we're not nice.
But what
we're not friendly.
But what I'm trying to say is this, okay?
But I worry about your soul, sir, and I worry about the souls.
My soul's gone. There's no worrying about my soul.
The degenerates.
I'm going to, like, wherever the...
You still can be saved, sir, but not if you conduct yourself in such a manner.
I'm actually going to wherever the devil outsources souls. I'm going to, like, some Middle Eastern soul outsourcing click farm. So you can't save me, homie.
I think Ninen's performing there for $10,000, actually.
But what I'm trying to say to you, sir, is I think everybody's problem is not, all right, that's a noble intent. You're trying to keep souls out of hell. Hooray. And I'm not mocking you, and I'm sorry if that came off as such. And thank you for the call.
No, never
okay.
mind.
What I'm trying to say is,
just trying to save you from hellfire and damnation.
But I think you have an interpretation.
And this is the thanks we get.
But you have an interpretation.
And try a softer approach, and everybody should be nice to each other. I'm trying to save you for all of eternity, sir. I'm trying to save the souls of millions of people worldwide for all of eternity.
Okay, so when you're protesting outside a military funeral. In what way, shape, or form is that assisting that particular soul from avoiding hell? When people are grieving,
that
they've lost a loved one. I mean, really, I'm trying to be fair here. I want to mock you. How are you keeping people out of hell?
Losing a loved one or being damned for all eternity to hell? I don't think people understand what they're dealing with. You ever put your hand on a hot iron? Imagine that all over your body for all of eternity. That's what I'm trying to save you from.
Can I tell you, it actually sounds good after this phone call. I'm kidding. I don't mean to give you that, man. I don't mean to do that to you. But I think everybody's problem is that you guys have decided the admission policy for heaven and hell. And I think that's what people take offense to. I'm not even – there's a million angles we can come at this from. Okay? You know, the military –
Well, either I've decided it or you've decided.
Well, no, it's neither of us decided. I don't think either one of us is on the board of directors of hell if such a place exists.
Dean Imperial is, though.
If you had a friend – or even if there was a stranger standing in the middle of the street and a truck was coming at them, would you be nice when you ask them to move, or would you tell them to move the hell out of the way?
He's great at what he does. You would be assertive and you would get them out of the way, but you're not. That's not what you're doing. Do you understand? You
no,
guys.
No, what I'm doing is of far greater importance because.
I think you believe that. I believe that you believe what you're saying, but it doesn't make it accurate. Do you understand? There are people that think the Mets are going to win a World Series in this lifetime. They believe that. It doesn't make it accurate. Do you understand? And what I'm trying to say is I'm on board with the noble intent, but maybe we just don't like how you go about doing it. Does that make sense?
Because, well, the people aren't going to change.
Uh-huh. Well, this is all...
I don't think there's anything I could say. You don't want me to change people. You want to let the souls burn in hell. That's what you want to do.
No,
you want to be nice and let souls burn in hell for all of eternity.
I don't think it's your place to decide who's burning and who's walking free. I don't think you have that autonomy, sir.
Oh, no, only God has that authority.
Yeah, so why are you out there? All right, you're on record as saying that. Only God has the authority, okay? That being said, so why are you out there making this determination? Why are you passing a value judgment
on lives? Because I want to save people's souls, sir.
But how are you going to save them? What is it that you do that's going to save souls? That's what I don't understand.
And why couldn't you have called in during Jonathan Randall's segment?
But how? How are you saving souls? By saying what? Don't be gay? Is that what you're saying?
But I tell you, of course that's what I'm saying. It's a choice.
Well, Jason Collins has not been signed by any NBA team, so I think, victory point for you.
But do you believe that? You really believe gay equals hell?
Gay equals hell.
And why do you believe that? Because of what gross misinterpretation of the Bible? Like, if you technically go by the word of God, he actually doesn't, he almost in a roundabout way encourages gay because he says thou shall not covet thy neighbor's wife. He doesn't say anything about the neighbor. You could have a wild time with a neighbor according to the Ten Commandments. Was that offensive? I hope you're not going to come shoot me. But I'm just saying, I mean, your interpretation of this is your interpretation of this. This is a Rorschach test, and you guys have run wild with it. You're protesting it. You can't see where you would come off as insensitive at a military funeral protesting.
It's not about sensitivity. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not about being sensitive. It's about trying to save souls.
All right, so answer that question, because we don't have all day. We have another guest to come on, and I welcome to have this conversation again.
Well, I apologize for taking so much of your time.
You didn't take any.
Have fun in hell.
No, this is... All I was going to ask you is, did I lose you? I think I lost him. Oh, come on.
He was... The asphyxiation fully took place as he climaxed there. So he had it timed perfectly.
He's timed perfectly
for the end of the call.
I'd love to stay in chat, but my grinder app just spit out. I'm going to go head over to 28th and 5th. No, that was, listen, and we don't make a habit of mocking the callers on this show. We thank every one of you for participating. But there's like a steadfast refusal to answer the question. Do you follow that? Like, how are they saving people? So let's just have this discussion fast. We don't have a lot of time left.
Well, I would just say, or why not acknowledge that the best way to convert people to your cause is not to do what is roundly considered incredibly insensitive, uncivil, and disgusting.
Yeah.
Change your method might, you know, look at all the people who've converted for less aggressive methods than protesting funerals.
We gonna keep you out of hell, so we gonna burn some puppies. And you're like, wait, what? People are obsessed. People
Why
like puppies.
Why don't they just let us go? If we're gonna go, like, let us go.
I mean, I'm already gone. I'm on record as saying that. But yeah, it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm not gone.
Do you have time to come back and you do the news at the end of the break?
Oh, yeah.
In a little while, we got time.
Yeah.
All right, because I have a huge guest in studio right now. Just landed on the heliport on the roof. We still have to get to the Fink man, Dave Finkelstein. But I know everybody on, because I feel bad. I mean, you normally come on, spend some good quality time on the broadcast. You just got hijacked by the band Kansas.
I did.
And are you okay with this?
I'm fine.
All right, I know you're a delicate guy. I don't want you to go Mighty Joe Young in my studio and trash the place, kill the TA. I'm trying to keep the
class went to hell without Professor Imperial.
I'm trying to keep the peace here.
We gotta
go to break. We come back. Mike Sherman in studio, right here on the Big Bad One and Only Off the Meter Radio Program.
Off the meter, off the meter.
With Jimmy Fallon.
He is one of those iconic figures that fans care about.
If you're an entrepreneur looking to start your own business or expand an existing business, but you don't know which local politicians and union bosses you need to bribe, then it's about time you call the good folks at Bureaucracy Bypass and race to the front of the line. Bureaucracy Bypass has helped thousands of would-be business owners, just like yourself, determine exactly who to take to the Palm Steakhouse and supply with hookers in order to get land rezoned, taxes abated, and operating licenses swiftly granted. Don't waste another minute buying plane tickets for some bozo who claims to be tight with your county executive. Get bureaucracy bypass and bypass the bureaucracy.
Black Jesus.
Coming to you live from New York City, it's the Off the Meter radio program with Jimmy Fallon, 855-236-2280. If you'd like to be a part of the show, it's Friday. It's kind of an all-skate. We'll let anyone on the program. Adrian Hamilton co-hosting for 2 hours is proof of that statement.
Yes.
There was a time when co-hosting the show meant something. Like,
right.
People would be excited. We've kind of watered it down. It's like adding an extra wild card team in the playoffs. I'm kidding. We're thrilled to have you.
Yeah.
But the thrill gets put on hold for a minute, because joining us now in studio, I don't know where you start with this guy, because he kind of does everything, performs everywhere. You know the great hit play, You're in Town. He's in their new production. It debuted last night. How about we talk about that first and foremost with the great Micah Sherman. How you doing, champ?
I'm good, man. How have you been?
Better now, champ. We were just fighting with the Westboro Baptist Church.
I heard that, man.
Where were you, man? I'm Harvey Keitel at the end of Bad Lieutenant. Where were you?
Oh, man.
I needed my bag.
Fuck those guys.
You're not
man.
A fan,
what
right?
A fucking waste of life.
But do you see, like, it's a weird situation, because when you have them on the phone, and I completely agree that it's a waste of life, it's like there's a chance to just do that or to try to hear them out. And as you try to hear them out, they almost indict themselves further, because they have not his what he was saying, and I know you couldn't hear his end of the phone call, was he's trying to keep souls out of hell.
No, I heard that.
Oh, you heard? Okay. So they were trying to keep souls out of hell.
Yeah.
Which is a really noble way to term what they're doing.
And I think that's fine. If you believe that there's hell, which there's not.
No.
Then you definitely try to keep souls out of hell.
You're talking to a guy who did comedy in Atlantic City last night. Back okay. up then. There is a hell. There
oh,
is,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a
well,
hell.
If you're trying to keep souls out of Atlantic City, then you gotta work with some of the local legislature to talk about
Atlantic City.
Anti-gambling
laws. The official land of misfit toys. Like if the land of the living had, you know, that old claymation series with the broken toys?
Mm. Yeah.
That is Atlantic City.
I did the most I've ever gotten paid was to do this like guerrilla marketing campaign for the union, the hospitality union in Atlantic City.
Okay.
And we went around like Philadelphia and ski lodges all around Atlantic City, and we would sing this this doo-wop medley about how awesome Atlantic City was, and then we'd just leave. It was awful.
The paycheck gigs.
The paycheck gigs.
So let's get into this, because I want to tell you something. I've done every bad Atlantic City paycheck gig, meaning not a formal organized showbiz gig like you're describing, but I've literally sold things, bartered, like all of it. When I was a little kid, I had like a five-night-a-week Atlantic City thing happening.
Wow.
Because I just, you know, I didn't know. Like, it was exciting to me. Like, if I had $20 and I'm like, and I buy pizza, it's gone. But if I put it on a roulette wheel, it might be $8,000.
Yeah.
Now, it never was $8,000, but
sure.
We had a lot of fun turning it into what it became, which was me covering up my Adam's apple and putting on a blonde wig to break even. But it was fun. The point is so I've done every one of those bad boardwalk bartering gigs that you could think of. How did you, I just want to ask you, how did you get into that doo-wop thing, the guerrilla marketing campaign?
It was through the Improv Asylum in Boston, where I used to be a main stage cast member.
Is that where you're from originally?
No, I'm from, I was born in Hawaii and grew up in North Carolina.
Wow. So you're kind of like Obama.
I am exactly like Obama.
He did, in every way.
Yeah.
Because he did like a half hour in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Because we were pulling audio drops from the Audacity of Hope.
Yeah.
And
he's been around, man. Yeah. He used to live in New York. He's
a lot of miles on the old Chevy.
I used to live in Chicago.
Did that go on?
I voted for him in the Senate race.
Really?
Yeah, in 2004.
That's interesting. That's like seeing a Pro Bowl player in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I was like, this dude, he was running against Alan Keyes, which was not a tough win.
I used to love Alan Keyes on a debate, because he was like the black Kucinich. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'd let him on the panel and just die laughing. It was like a kid when he plays in his dad's softball game. They give him a pat on the head, but they don't count the out.
Exactly.
Really funny. So there's a couple things going on, and everybody knows You're in Town. What is your new play debuted last night? I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, it went well. It's by Greg Kotas, who won a couple of Tonys for Urinetown. He's a regular player on my improvised one-act play show that's every Thursday night at 9:30 called The Scene.
Genius.
It's thanks. It's a real fun show. We get a lot of like great improvisers to play on it. But he was like, "Yeah, I have this thing that I want to premiere," and he asked five of us to perform.
Wow!
And it went real well. We had a packed house last night, and it's running the next 3 Fridays at the People's Improv Theater.
Look at you, man. We have to check it out, man.
Please.
It would mean a lot to me if I could see it next Friday. It would mean a lot because it means I get out of the gig I'm doing.
Great.
Which is an awful situation. Your show's amazing, but if you literally were setting the audience on fire, it would be better than the gig I'm doing next Friday. Next Friday, I got roped into one of those. You know, sometimes people book you by just asking you this question: "Hey, are you free on the 17th?
So rude. Tell me what for."
Yeah, the answer is to always just whenever that happens to you, say no, because it means there's bad pay and a bad gig coming up.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're entrapping you in conversation. And that's, I had one of them.
I did stand up for 8 years, and I had to stop. I had to actually tell people that I no longer did it, because I actually like quit doing stand up, and people would still be like, "Hey, man, you want like $75 to drive out to Vermont? And you know, it's for a teachers union. They had a bunch of layoffs, and they're just trying to." They're just trying to have a good time, you know. But
they're looking for a funny cat sitter who can do 20. Do you have a car?
Yeah,
that sounds like a Roger.
Yeah,
Paul
do you
gig.
Have a car?
That's the ultimate to work on. If you're aspiring to do stand-up comedy, that is it. The requirement to do the road is yes. Do you have when you get introduced to a road bigger, they don't go like, "Are you funny?" Like you're waiting for that one compliment, just that one gratuitous. He's funny. He's a new guy. He's on his way. It doesn't even surface because there's no need for it.
Nope.
They're very efficient. He has a car. He can pick up whatever C-list Back to the Future extra at the airport and get him to the Columbus Funny Bone, buy him mushrooms on the way in Germantown. Those are the sole requirements. Yeah. So you know. So when you say you did comedy, you did – like comedy did you too. Really did it. Yeah,
that's what it means when you say I was a stand-up comedian. Like I got fucked in the ass for years and years and years.
Let's be clear.
And I'm still a stand-up comedian and I get fucked in the ass years and years and years.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
So tell us this. What did you just...
Hold on.
What?
What was that?
Just a sound drop?
What was that?
Do you know that?
I know what that was.
Okay.
What was that?
It was a sound drop.
Why were we changing subjects there?
No. He was contributing to our discussion about the fact.
Okay.
That comedy is kind of a lawless region where, you know, we kind of get emotionally sodomized a lot, but we make it work.
Very good.
I was trying to put a positive spin on it, sir.
I appreciate it.
I wasn't doing that to you.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife. Hide your kids. Have you guys seen that YouTube video of the, like, it's like the St. Augustine's College marching band covering that song?
No.
It is awesome. They get after it.
Do they really? Because I've seen, like, the auto-tunes. I've never seen that. I got to see that.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, now we got required reading and listening for the audience. Yeah. Just joined us. Micah Sherman is in studio at 855-236-2280. Adrian Hamilton co-hosting the show for 2 hours today because Dean Imperial is at large, but he will be in the studio tomorrow because we begin production on an audiobook. But let's keep that for a second. So we have something going on. What did you just wrap up filming? I wanted to ask you that.
Oh, I've been working on a documentary about social media.
That's okay. So the minute I saw it, one of the bullet points that Nat Talzin, our stud booker, sent me was that you once stopped doing social media for a month as an experiment.
I left Facebook for a month.
Was it the best month of your life?
It was pleasant.
It was amazing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I missed a couple of shows.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes some people that aren't your friends ask you to do shows, and I would have liked to do those shows.
Okay.
But other than that, I really didn't feel like I missed very much. I took it off my phone.
Oh, did you?
Facebook, yeah.
You went the distance.
Facebook is a real time suck. I mean, everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So the documentary is about finding ways to... Well, at first, I was pretty nervous about engaging with social media.
Uh-huh.
So I started doing it, and then I was like, man, I'm wasting a lot of time on Facebook. So a lot of the documentary is about how to like create those boundaries in your life to like use social media to your advantage, but not get addicted to it and sucked in and like spend your life like a hermit in his underwear.
Yeah, it's weird, but I I'm pretty active on social media, but I don't. Yeah. I wouldn't do it if I didn't have to.
Right.
Like, meaning if the world if there was just the smallest inkling of a revolt, I'd be there.
Yeah.
I'd show up to that rally. With
yeah.
The bayonet or whatever, the pitchfork. But I'm interested to see it, man. When is it? It just finished shooting.
Yeah, we just wrapped. My director and editor are pouring through about 80 plus hours of footage right now. So.
But you interviewed everybody.
Every single person we did, yeah. It's not a good use of our time. I'm sure we really should have put up a screen.
He interviewed everyone that has a Facebook account.
Yeah, it was a lot of people.
That's really
a lot
funny.
Of robots. We interviewed a lot of robots. A
lot of bots that yeah. saw your profile picture, think yeah. you're sexy, but can't show you the pics here, but you're welcome to come to their site.
I went to the sites of all of them.
There's been a serious breach, though.
Yeah, I should say totally worth it. I mean, I'm pretty good friends with some of these ladies now.
So this man has gotten a lot of gold out of Nigeria. In his time. One of the most celebrated gold exporters.
Yeah,
in the world.
Yeah, I've been told.
But how did – I don't understand how that just came about because it's going on. Remember when sneaker spam was the rage and you'd get a pair of sneakers, you'd get tagged in a photo with 8 billion people?
Oh, yeah.
That's the new sneaker spam. It's like a Ukrainian girl who thinks you're hot, yep. who's in your – but I don't think they're all private messaging you. Yeah. I mean, it'll eventually stop, I would imagine, but it's like – it's really like out of control. Like an epidemic.
Yep.
Making it sound crazy now. I should play the Hide Your Kids clip again.
Yeah, go for
it. But
that.
I don't want to alarm any of our guests. No,
please do that again.
People freak out.
Yeah, let's get that thing going.
I don't want to do that. So you wrapped filming on the documentary. As a guy, this is the closest I came to quitting Facebook. I once flew to Miami and lost my phone at the airport. I did a week in Miami with no cell phone.
Yeah.
And I embraced it. I was like, I got to go get a phone. I got to get a phone. The minute the plane lands, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to get a phone. It was amazing.
Good for you.
I did miss things, but it was amazing.
Yeah. It's sometimes, I mean, you're in your life, you're always missing things.
Yeah, yeah.
And social media can be a little bit of a fallacy in that, like, oh, I will get caught up on all the things that are important. When in actuality, the things that are important to you are the things that are in your life that are right in front of you.
Yes.
So
that's a good moral.
Now he's a life coach. Yep. Now he's a life coach.
Yep.
Joining me on the show, Joel Osteen is in studio. No, that's a good stuff. But no, I agree with that because when I drove a cab, the thing that would drive me crazy is like everybody on vacation was in their phone, and everybody, you know, even if they weren't, they were required. Like basically, the fact that everything has become so portable.
Yeah.
People are unable to tune out of it, one. But two, which is the more galling thing, is that they're expected not to tune out.
Well, the exciting thing about it is that we have choices. Yeah. Like, I'm much better. I'm a much better person and a much more efficient person now that I have an iPhone.
Yeah.
I don't spend, you know, I would literally spend probably 4 hours a week walking, looking at street signs, walking the other way, looking at that street sign, walking south a block, and going, fuck this. But with a Google Maps, you find out exactly where you're going. You don't have to spend all that time planning and like highlighting routes. You know, like you just do it. And I think that's like a really really good use of one's time.
Yeah.
What's not a good use of one's time is when you're having lunch with somebody and you're trying to catch up with them, and you are also your mind is split into looking at other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Undivided attention is a really valuable asset these days.
Yeah, not a lot of that to go around. A scarcity of that. I feel like playing the rape clip again.
Go ahead.
It's not. I'll give you one.
Yeah, this I need this to happen.
So y'all need to hide your kids.
Who are
hide
you?
Your wife.
Why are you in here right
they
now?
Raping anybody out here.
Rape. Just joined us, Micah Sherman is in studio at 855-236-2280. And you just shot a commercial. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a commercial actor, so
I know.
I stay alive, like getting magic checks in the mailbox from commercials that I did. So
how do you like doing commercials? Fun?
Yeah, they're fun. It's, I mean, ultimately, it's not, there's no room for upward.
Yeah. Mobility.
Mobility.
Okay.
I mean, I could be a commercial actor conceivably for the rest of my life. And I like the process, and I like auditioning, and I have great agents, and I like everything about it, but ultimately it's not where I want to end up.
Yeah, it's okay. I get that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I went into now I suck. I have no reason to be there, but you know when you first kind of get moving in stand-up and you get agents and stuff, you know, they want to send you out everywhere.
Yeah.
So I did every audition in the world, and I'm really not calibrated for it.
Yeah.
Like I would be the guy that would get hung up. Like if there was like a dog in the holding room,
yeah,
you know, I would get like – there was that other competition going on to see like who could be the funniest with the dog, which has nothing to do with who gets the part.
Right.
But you're trying to crack up the girl who fetches the donuts and the coffee, thinking that has any impact.
Yeah.
And I would be I'd be fighting the wrong battle.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to do soft shoe with this dog.
Yeah.
You might as well not even audition at that point.
Yeah, and it's just a blind person seeing eye dog.
But, yeah, yeah.
It has nothing to do with the audition.
But you know what I found? What I thought was fascinating is any time, like in the minimal amounts of time a guy like me gets a callback, I was always fascinated at the caliber of individual at the callback, meaning they get exponentially better looking. It's like you're like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah,
it's psychotic.
Yeah.
You know, some decent looking people, they're all actors, they're good looking people at the first go round.
Right.
But there's also a couple of people like me that can kind of, you know, get in there because you had that one headshot taken from the right angle.
Exactly.
But they sift through that in person pretty quick. Then you get to the callback and you're like, well, we're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And I was always fascinated with that. And you can do it. I mean, if you're in the rhythm of doing it, I'm sure it's great.
Yeah, it's a rhythm just like anything else.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I even noticed that with comedy. There's a rhythm to, like, guys that are hardcore road comics. They just do it.
They plow through that set.
They
don't wait for the laughs. They don't wait for anything. They look at the exit sign and they just go.
There's people, it's really funny, but it's true. Anybody who really has a hardcore A to Z set that they never deviate from, yes, there's no emotional investment in that set at all.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's convenient to have because you always have somewhere to go in your act, but you're not doing comedy anymore.
No.
You're just in like a play that you don't even understand.
Yeah.
You know?
I definitely was there with stand-up where – and my problem was like I didn't really have a real strong like personal voice. It was all absurd observations about like moths and spiders. And it was just like – unrelatable to the fullest. And so I would go on the road and people wouldn't get the first joke and I would just
strap
in, assholes. Let's let's do this.
That's really funny. I did that. I was in Atlantic City last night, headlining a Revel. It's a nice casino. I have monopolized the bankrupt casino. I mean, that's my booking. So if you're out there in the market for that, forget it.
I was at the Trop when I was there.
Oh, the comedy stop at the Tropicana.
Yeah.
The Village. Tropicana got really nice, by the way.
Oh, did it?
They did this thing. They have like their own French Quarter now, and they brought in a Carmine's, which is pretty nice.
Man, when I was there, I saw this guy, this old man, who was wearing a full fur coat.
Oh, my God.
And a cowboy hat.
Of course he was.
White, long white hair, cowboy boots, a big, big bushy mustache. And I was like, I got to go take my picture with this guy. And I went up to him, and his mustache was just caked with cocaine.
Oh my God.
And he's like sweating. I was like, let's just snap this picture real quick and get out of here before this guy.
Atlantic City, like Santa
Claus. Oh, yeah. Well, the Atlantic City, like I was saying, the land of misfit toys. The first time I was in Atlantic City, I got into the hotel. It was the Bally's Grand at the time, and there was a man on the phone in his socks on a payphone telling his wife, like, I made a mistake. You got to send some money. You don't understand. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do this. This is my last day.
No.
But he had no socks on.
Like,
I thought it was like the most extreme thing in the world. And like 5 years later, I was on that phone. Like, Jenny, you don't understand. Jenny, just Western Union the cash, Jenny. It's all right. But I've been that guy. But yes, Atlantic City, not for the faint of heart, man.
No, man.
Not for the faint of heart. And for the comedian, forget it. But that Revel is a nice gig. So you're shooting commercials. You're in a hat. This is all exciting stuff, man. I wanted to say one other thing, though, because you mentioned Hawaii when you first came on.
Yeah.
I know we don't have you forever. You're smoking your e-cigarette at
this point. Yeah, I'm going to die.
How do you like that?
I just started smoking it about a week ago. Mm-hmm. I stopped drinking like 7 weeks ago.
Ooh, look at you.
For life.
Okay.
And I was, of course, I was smoking a lot more, and it was just making me sick, and I was feeling like crap. And, my deli had these, and I was like, I got to give that a try. And I really like it. I went down to low nicotine, so I'm not all jittery and stuff. It's enjoyable. You can smoke it inside.
I was going to say that you look calm.
Yeah.
And most people smoking them just quit smoking a gargantuan amount of cigarettes and don't look calm.
Yeah.
Most people smoking like an e-cigarette look like the lookout on a bank job.
Exactly. Because they're smoking it. They're smoking it not with it in between their forefinger and middle finger, but they've got it cupped underneath so that the light doesn't show, and they're sucking on it like a straw.
How we looking in there?
Yeah. come on.
Get the money. We don't got it. It's exactly what it looks like. Couple things before we let you go, Micah Sherman. You're on the Facebook again. You're back, right?
I'm back.
Be his friend on Facebook. You're on Twitter.
Yeah.
You're on television.
I'm at Prof Dork, P-R-O-F-D-O-R-K, on Twitter. I'm a lot of fun.
He's a lot of fun. This guy's a lot of fun.
I'm a lot of fun.
What do you want from me, man?
Enjoy
me. We brought a lot of fun on the show today.
This is enjoyable.
No, you
great. Are we almost done?
Yeah, I'm going to get you out of here.
One minute.
I know.
I'm having like a great time.
Are you having fun hanging? We got a minute before we go to break. Let's make it happen. Let's make it count.
Let's make this lightning round.
This was a fast 25 minutes.
Yeah.
You grew up in Hawaii. What was that like?
Oh, fast. Next question. It was good. I just visited for the first time in 2.5 decades.
Oh, okay. So it was a long time ago.
Yeah, I went back and I saw my old house and stuff, and Hawaii is awesome.
Give me this, because Hawaii makes me think of George Clooney because of that movie, The Descendants.
I watched that with my mother, and she was like, "So true."
Said she
so
like,
true.
"Yeah,"
and I was like, "That's not fucking true. We don't have a plot of land."
No,
what the fuck
I hated
it. About?
I hated that movie. It's
that
like movie these people bad. Are inheriting Hawaii,
yeah,
and they feel sorry for themselves.
Exactly, and not part of Hawaii. All
of
Hawaii.
It feels, they even got the Arizona. They were getting everything.
Yeah,
and they're like, and they feel bad about it.
Yeah.
George Clooney is George Clooney.
Because we were just talking. Clooney about, is always George Clooney.
We were just talking about Gravity. And he Clooney's the hell out of Gravity. It's
oh, sure.
terrible in Gravity.
I just watched Michael Clayton. It should have been called George Clooney.
That's so even when like the car blows up and he sees the horses, he's still like,
he's like,
you know,
oh my God, I'm George Clooney. Where do I go and be George Clooney right now?
Oh, that's funny, man. Micah Sherman, fastest 25 minutes of my broadcast.
Hey, thanks
career.
A lot for having me. This
no!
is pleasurable.
You were great, man. We're going to con you into coming back by. I don't know what Nat had to tell you to get you on. I don't know what you thought you were auditioning for today, but I'm glad it worked out, man. Let's do it again.
Okay, great. Looking forward to
Good
the callback.
Good luck with that. Micah Sherman, there, the callback. But the people won't get any better looking, that I promise you, man. There went Micah Sherman. Stick around. Dave Finkelstein, GOP strategist, star of the FamilyFootballPool.com. is going to stop by to break down the 5 biggest news stories of the day right here on the big, bad, one and only Off the Meter Radio program.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all our way. If we keep on the sunny side of life.
Off the meter, off the meter.
Off Jimmy Fallon.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
We're not a respectable network. We're a whorehouse network. And we have to take whatever we can get.
Hi, I'm ex-Navy SEAL Joel Wumbo. And if you're a teacher, a nanny, or a babysitter with annoying kids you wish you could kick the crap out of, I feel your pain. That's why I invented Points of Justice. Sure, those little shits would be great to smack around, but you might leave a mark and lose your job, and that ain't cool. But Points of Justice is cool. It's a series of pressure points that, if touched properly, will extract a devastating toll on those disrespectful rug rodents and leave you feeling satisfied. No marks, no bruises, and no more talking back. Go to pointsofjustice.com and sign up for my 3-hour course, and in no time at all, you'll be dishing out commando-style pain with just a touch of a finger. So take my course, so you don't have to take any more shit.
From New York City, it's the Off the Meter radio program. Jimmy Fallon, reachable at 855-236-2280. This show, of course, co-hosted by the great Adrian Hamilton, as good a friend as I have sitting across from me at this table, as good a friend as I could have. And I appreciate you being here for 2 hours. This is a big commitment.
It's been a lot of fun.
Micah Sherman gave us 25 minutes. You gave us that times, well, I have a community college education, is it times 4? You gave us that times a lot more. But joining me now in studio, he's a regular on this program. He is a GOP strategist, a societal analyst, and a damn good friend of the show. Please welcome the Fink Man, Dave Finkelstein. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, Jimmy. How are you today?
I'm going to tell you something. I was going to say something in your intro about how popular you were at my family barbecue.
Really?
But then I realized if I said that, there were enough people in the room that weren't there that are going to feel slighted, so I probably shouldn't mention it. And now I've talked myself into the corner.
Don't worry, we don't care.
And now for the next party, you got 2 more people,
I got
more money
more
to spend on food.
And don't give me that you don't care. You absolutely do care. Damn it, Adrian Hamilton.
No.
Finkman, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little concerned about you, however.
Well, what's up with me?
You know, I was looking, as I was sitting in the green room earlier, at your poster for your
upcoming
book.
That's the most creative way I've ever heard a futon described, but go ahead.
Why is your name so small?
Because I don't have an ego. It's a gamble. If the book sucks, how big do I want my name to be? And if the book kills, it's there. It's fine.
Jimmy, you're the same guy who won a football pool by having the Jets and Raiders.
Yeah.
Not only cover the spread, but win outright.
Yeah, yeah.
It's time for you to go for it.
You want me to go for it?
Yes. Bigger letters. Talk to your publisher.
All right. Well, that's only an advanced, uncorrected reader's proof of the book.
I want some bigger letters.
You want bigger letters there.
And you got to get rid of the word buy.
Real? Oh, you think so?
Yes. It's reminiscent of the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where Larry David's mother had the grave that said passed away, P-A-S-T, because the father didn't want to spend money on two more letters.
Well, I want to tell you how funny that is. They Stonehenged my name. You know, to go movie crazy, but in Spinal Tap,
okay,
when they have their Stonehenge prop come down from the ceiling and it's like the size of a mouse,
right,
and it's supposed to be like this climactic point in the presentation, my name in the original proof, smaller than that. That's two sizes up from how small it was. And a shout out to the designer, Adam Fulrath. He's a head cover designer for the magazine Time Out London.
Okay.
Used to be the head guy for Time Out New York. He did that. He did a badass cover. But yes, I don't know whose directive that was. But it was, it is pretty small. But I don't have an ego. I mean, if it's good, it's good. And you want to know the truth is? This is the truth. And I shouldn't say this. Publisher's going to shoot me in the face. Okay?
Yeah.
But you have an opinion once you've written it and stepped away from it a few months of what it is.
Right.
It's actually a draft away from being really good. It's all right. It's an all right book. It's a draft away. Now that I can't touch it and I finally reread it to work on the audiobook, I was like, I'm going to shoot myself in the face. But it's not bad. It's fun. Yeah. But I got over it, Fink. But I appreciate you supporting what I do.
Yeah.
And I'll throw my weight around at our next publicist meeting and say, like, I want a bigger name on there.
Very good.
How about, look at that, the Fink man.
Sounds good.
You showed up to do the news. Now you're my agent. Right. Busy day on the show.
All-purpose guest.
If you'd like to be a part of the show, 855-236-2280. Before we break down the news, I should ask, the Giants? Are you going to be all right?
I'm not happy.
I have decided to kill myself. I'm going to blow my brains out right on this program.
I'm not happy with the performance. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy with the quarterbacks underachieving.
Mm-hmm.
If I see Brad Nessler and Mike Mayock, they're in trouble.
All those announcers?
The director and the producer of that show, there's 7 seconds on the play clock. They're giving you an overhead stadium shot. Show the freaking game.
All right, now you're a guy who gets freaked out by weird things.
Show the game.
Right, I follow it. But I don't know that the listener, that's too wonky. Now you're directing the broadcast.
And then the holding penalty last night, they give you no replay. This ends the game. The penalty ends the game. A defensive holding penalty call that nobody saw. Nobody knows what it is 20 hours later. The referee didn't say a number. And these two idiots, well, that's the first time. They didn't tell you what it was about. Nobody knows.
But I love that you've now gotten to the point where it's like you can't even – there's nothing to say about the Giants that's just that bad and that inept, that you're now getting into the guy in the honey truck outside the stadium.
That's how bad
and
they
how
are.
He directs the broadcast.
Well, it does affect the team's future, Jimmy, because half of these idiots on TV who I can't stand, certain idiots in the newspapers, they want them to come coach a team.
Yeah, that's
and I don't want that. These idiots will get paid $4 million a year to make jackasses
but you
of
know themselves your team
as commentators.
You know your team sucks when you're coming on my program to disparage the craft services people.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign, Fink, man.
Well, what do you want to talk about, the Eagles and the Bucks instead?
No, I just wanted to talk to you for a few minutes before
right,
we break down the news.
And my apologies for getting off topic.
Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, the five biggest news stories of the day. And before it's all over, we're going to open up the phones and emails to play Ask a Cabbie with J.L. Colvan, a man who was unfairly preempted by the Westboro Baptist Church today, and a man who's upset about it. He's not leaving the studio.
They got another one.
Just give him the damn ball. That's what he said. He's the Keyshawn Johnson of Off the Meter Radio. Here they go, Fink, and we'll do him fast. The prison guards aren't getting paid while the inmates are. That's a big story on the NewYorkPost.com today. As good a journalistic pillar of excellence as there is in this fine land. So basically, this is one of those government shutdown stories designed to agitate because it's showing you some glaring inequity in society. The prisoners that make 23 cents a day getting license plates made, picking up trash, they are getting paid. The guards watching them not getting paid. Now, to be fair, the guards are getting paid retroactively, probably with interest. The real story behind this is that the prisoners program gets funded 2 years at a time, so the money was all in place. There were a lot of complications of a government shutdown.
Hey, it's New York State. The prisoners' union is very powerful. I'm not surprised.
But the point is, they're making a big to-do about this. But I think this is one of those stories that just falls into that perfect sweet spot of shutdown agitation, like the military death benefits, which of course should have been paid. And I'm shocked that there wasn't some political operative who saw the potential to just get out front into that story and pay. Do you know what I mean? Like, when it was determined that deceased members of the military weren't getting their death benefits, I'm surprised the politician wasn't like, I'll pay it myself, well, knowing he'll get it back.
That's number one. I mean, Charles Koch or David Koch or somebody could have, you know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised they didn't do that.
Gotten off, you know, they would have wanted to, you know, just to behead him instead of, like, dismember his whole body maybe for 2 days in the press.
Which means, yeah, they were more into.
One of these big money, you know, Monty Burns types.
They wanted it to look bad. They wanted to shut down and look as bad as they could.
Now, did this article in the New York Post come with a shutdown clock? Because that's another thing I'd like to be done away with.
As the shutdown clock?
Yeah, now I'm going after the producers and directors of cable news. How do you like that, Jimmy? Going after them, too.
Hey, to be fair, the shutdown clock, not as egregious as the Super Bowl clock in the Giants locker room. Do you know, Adrian Hamilton, that the Giants owner this year, Tim Mara, because the Giants are hosting the Super Bowl in their stadium, he went into the locker room at the beginning of the year and he put down a clock countdown to the Super Bowl. Now, of course, we have a better chance of playing in the Super Bowl than the Giants do at this point. So it's just a funny concept that it's there.
Well, my road trip for the Super Bowl in 2 years in San Francisco will be better than the one I would have made to East Rutherford this year. Looking at the bright side.
You ain't kidding. Best-selling vegan author Kathy Freston had an affair with a woman after splitting with her husband of 14 years. This is notable because he's ex-Viacom chief Tom Freston. So according to Page Six, Ian Moore, my best friend in publishing in the business, editor of Page Six, look at me name dropping. He's not really my best friend, by the way. That's why I was saying it. That was sarcasm.
Okay.
But he's a nice guy. Did a really cool piece on me. But he doesn't know who I am.
She cheated with a woman.
That's the point.
Our pal Rick Riley misquoting his father-in-law.
Yeah, that's so funny. So what happened is the story here is Kathy Freston, who is frequently in Hollywood's elite crowd. She hangs out with Ellen, Arianna Huffington, Katie Lee Joel, Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, and his wife. She was cheating on the head of Viacom with a woman.
She's a vegan? That's the thing?
Yeah, she's a vegan author.
So maybe she completely didn't want meat in her life.
Hey-o!
Jim, I'm cutting you off after that good joke. I'm going to try and follow that up, which is going to be hard, but I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh.
If you find out Mrs. Jenny Fowler having an affair with a woman, scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
Wow, that's an interesting one. You want to know something, Fink?
Yeah.
I don't really harbor that fantasy.
No.
But I'd be happy from the standpoint of it gets me a night off. Okay. My wife is an animal. It's not real sex. It's like you're getting sexed into a Latino gang. It's violent. There's foul language.
Nice.
Things get said. Like, I don't feel safe. You know, like, I don't feel like one of the reasons we don't have a second kid is because I don't want to commit to that regimen of having sex with this woman because she's out of control. She's like a mongoose in a crate. So to answer your question, but I mean, I'd check it out.
Exactly.
As a curiosity piece, I would check it out.
No
but
question.
I mean, I don't know, man. Think I'm old, man. I'm 36. How old are you?
32.
Yeah, I'm old, man. Like, to be honest with you, I'd probably be thrilled. Like, I would rather, to answer that question, I'd rather my wife be with a chick than have a three-way because I don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
I'm two chicks. That's just awful. That's a job.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Even if it's great.
Sometimes a job can be rewarding.
The Fink, man.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Oh, wow. Facebook getting rid of a key privacy feature that lets users limit who can find them on the social network. So basically, there was a feature that allowed you to not be found in group searches. Like, you know, they type Adrian Hamilton into Facebook and find you. You used to have a way to not have it come up. So you were only relevant on Facebook to the people you knew and fraternized with. But they're doing away with the feature.
They hire, like, Snowden or Bradley Manning as a consultant or something to figure out how to do this?
That's funny. Putin is harboring them in an airport,
yes.
Delta Sky Miles Club right now. But what they're saying is they're trying to build out their search feature to make it more intricate and by doing things where you can search friends of friends like Google with keyword. So to give you an example, you're now going to be able to Google on Facebook. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you want to write mechanics in the tri-state area, you'll get the Facebook profile of every mechanic. They're trying to build that out, and in doing so, they need to, they need to remove this privacy option because this option would keep key people out of key searches.
So what are you going to choose?
Does that make any sense?
You should choose get way too complicated for me.
Your mechanic based on how attractive they are physically? I mean, what?
No. They're trying to make it like Google, where you actually are driving commerce through Facebook. They're trying to make Facebook more commerce driven, or even like dating sites. They're trying to monopolize the dating site ability of Facebook by hooking you up with friends of friends that have commonality in your profile. So that's basically what they're trying to do basically with Facebook is give out as much information as humanly possible in an effort to search engine optimize everybody's profile for the things it is that you frequent. I know that's a lot. It's crazy. People are upset. I'm not upset, Fink, man. Move on.
Hey, you give them your information, you're out of luck.
Facebook is revenge porn.
Yeah.
It's revenge porn. It's if you have a problem, you don't make the video.
Yeah.
Don't post it. That's what I'm trying to say. One more quickie, Fink, man. Okay. All right. Got one more in you?
I got one more, man.
People are mad at Apple, Fink, man. This is what we leave on today. As fun as it's been to have you. People are mad at Apple. Do you want to know why?
Why?
It's their new iPhone software update. People are saying it takes too long to download and occupies too much storage space in their phones. This is the iOS 7, which makes the phone screen look bigger and sharper. And they're saying it was riddled with error messages when users tried to download it. And more importantly, users are complaining that they had to delete photos and music to make room for it. Here's a quote from an irate user. And this woman has had it. Mm-hmm. She says, not enough memory to download the iOS 7. Well, sayonara wedding photos. That was her line.
Oh, bro.
You shouldn't be married.
You know,
like if your iOS 7 software upgrade takes precedent over your wedding photos, and where did you get married that your only wedding photos are on your phone? What were you doing taking wedding photos with your phone?
You know what, Jimmy? You know
she's just
I see
being
this?
Dramatic. No, kill yourself. This woman sucks. Addition by subtraction.
You know, it's generally not a good idea to cite a self-help book written by a guy who was caught bending over a mistress in a restaurant, Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
But this book he has out, The 24-Hour Contract, a big theme is how people get too carried away with these freaking devices. It's out of control. So I'm going to do exactly that. I'm going to cite Pitino, who had the aforementioned peccadillo, sued for extortion after she needed health services, $5,000, right between the lines there. It is out of control.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's out of control how obsessed people are with their phones.
My phone.
Yeah.
Well, people, you know what it is. Like, once they come out with an app that lets you have sex with your phone,
oh,
it's over.
You bang your phones all the time.
Yeah, the it's, I can't, it's I can't curse as the host of this show, but the effing phone.
New
yeah.
kind of phone sex, huh?
Yeah, I'm on a phone. It's going to happen, I'm telling you.
No more figure phone sex, there's literal phone sex.
Well, they say
sex.
That we're in love with our phone. Like, I'm not. We're actually in love with it.
That's funny. No, we are. And I'm telling you, Fink, man. That's why people are this irate, because the smallest like impropriety in the phone really outrages people.
Didn't even
go
spend $800 on the next iPhone.
Samsung's putting out a $1,000 phone, by the way, with a curved screen. That's going on. I was reading that today on like one of those widget sites. I know. That's where we are in society. We got a curved screen coming for $1,000. Fink, man.
Yes.
I wish you the best of luck in this week's football pool.
Can you believe they might cancel the Bucks-Eagles game? This is completely out of line.
Why are they canceling it?
MRSA outbreak. This is not acceptable.
What outbreak?
We can't have a MRSA.
What's MRSA?
MRSA.
What is that?
Some kind of skin virus. Are they getting the
really?
Line? Yeah. The thing that Lawrence Tynes has, Carl Nix.
What?
Who do these people think they are that they can make us have to have a 13-game Week 6. Who do they think they are?
No, that's not
this
right.
This pool depends on the Bucks-Eagles game. They can't cancel the game.
The familyfootballpool.com could very easily be denied a winner now because we don't have that extra tie-breaking game.
Exactly.
I'm going to call Commissioner Goodell when we go to break. How about that, Fink Man?
Take the Bucks getting half a point. They're going to upset them.
You've heard it here from the Fink Man first. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we open up the phone and email and play a round of Ask a Cabbie.
Off the meter. With Jimmy Fallon.
The man is insane. He's not responsible for himself.
Hi, I'm Captain Joseph Ferragamo with the New York City Fire Department's Ladder Company 452. As some of you may have heard, the city's new 911 dispatch system has been experiencing some major technical difficulties. Calls are being dropped, ambulances are getting lost, and people are dying all over our sidewalks. But there's good news. Mayor Bloomberg has just announced he'll be expanding bike lanes to Queens and the Bronx. So don't sit around waiting for an ambulance that might not be coming anyway. Rent a city bike and pedal your own ass to the hospital.
This message paid for by Bloomberg for a fourth term. From New York City. Got intense in here for a minute. I felt like we were about to run onto the field and play football. Whose house is this? It's the Off the Meter Radio program. Jimmy Failla, Adrian Hamilton, joined now in studio for a second time on one broadcast. He's pulling double duty today.
Oh, yeah.
J.L. Corvan, a man who was, he was unceremoniously kind of like preempted during his scheduled appearance on the show by a member of the Westboro Baptist Church who called in to pick a fight with us.
Well, they figured my appearance is high profile, so what better place?
We'll break into the Corvan appearance. That's what we'll do. At the end of this break, folks, I'm going to give out football picks because that's what we do every Friday on the show. We're 12-6 on the year. If you're betting the games, you're making money. We call it radio reparations. You listen to a lot of mediocre radio from Monday to Friday, we feel like we owe you something. We can't flat out hand you cash, so we give you the equivalent, which is pound for pound the best football picks in the world. I mean, 12-6, you're making money. If you're betting the games equally at 100 a game, you've made $600 to listen to Off the Meter. If you're betting 1,000, you've made 6,000. I mean, you can do anything you want, but the point is we have not had a losing week in 5 weeks of doing this.
Very nice.
We will win this weekend. That we will do. J.L. Corvan back in studio. We are getting ready to open up the phone lines and mailbag. Play a round of Ask a Cabbie. That's what we're going to do. If you have a question, you can email the gang at offthemeterradio.com. You can also message me at Jimmy Failla via Twitter, or you can call 855-236-2280 is that number, toll free. We'd never charge anybody to be a part of this, let's be honest. It's first email, JL. Are you ready for this? How do you feel about this?
I'm ready.
You got some advice in you? Adrian Hamilton, how do you feel?
Oh, I'm full of advice.
All right, cool. Are you full of advice? Is any of it good?
I'll tell everybody how to live their life.
Okay, a couple of good ones. Dina in Canarsie. I never do this, but I had sex with a guy on the first date. Do you think he thinks less of me now? I mean, my answer would be it depends how you are in the sack.
Sure.
If you were good, he thinks plenty of you. But what caught my attention was I never do this, because anytime anybody says I never do, if they're going out of the way to tell you they never do it, it means they're painfully self-conscious of just how much they do it.
Yes.
There's a guilt. There's an inherent guilt in the statement, the need to say I never do this. But J.L. Corvan, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've slept with girls on the first date that stuck around in your life. No? You're not sure.
I don't usually, I mean.
Do you have a girl listening to this podcast?
No.
All right.
What I'm saying is I'm trying to answer the question honestly, okay. And I'm thinking that stuck around, no.
Really? Adrian Hamilton, have you ever had pretty quick relations that led to something more?
No, I mean, if you're going to do it that time, you're a drive-by. So
really?
Yeah. You have to know
all
that.
Right, well, that leaves it on me. No. Well, I mean, the answer would be no, because I'm married to a girl I didn't have sex with on the first date.
There you go.
So I guess that's the answer. But I want to say this, Dina. I don't think it matters that you did have sex with them on the first date. I don't think that's enough to eliminate you. I think that's a rule that we all have in our head. It's like if you sleep with the person right away, it's no good. That is a rule, but what are the rules really there to do? They're there to give you excuses to discriminate against people you don't really want.
Sure.
People betting. You don't really like. If you like someone, none of the rules matter. You'll break every rule.
Agreed.
So the point is, Dina, he thinks less of you or more of you without this being a factor. Meaning if he likes you or doesn't like you, it doesn't have to do with you sleeping with him.
I'd like to know more about him, because you could probably gauge from the quantity of tattoos he has, the amount of hair care product he uses. Like, you could gauge what he thinks of her before, during, and after.
Yeah, that's true, too. And I'd like to know more about her, such as her phone number. I'm kidding. Little Miss sleeping with everybody on the first date. I mean, that's a convenient enticement to a guy like me. Jimmy Fallon doesn't have time for courtship. I got a woman. I got a child involved. I got to work efficiently. I'm too tired. I just, you know, the work that goes into it. God bless you. The last time I had a girl really hit on me at Gotham on a Saturday night, it was after a late show. I was talking to Jimmy Canizero. She's like, hey, we're going to the bar if you want to come next door. I'm like, I don't know. She's like, well, if you just want to go to my room. And I was like, do you know what time it is? Like, do you have any idea how late it is for a guy like me? I'm like, I'm going to go home. I'm exhausted. Go to your freaking room. Kill yourself. But thank you for the email. And the answer is, Dina, he thinks what he thinks of you, independently of what you did with him.
Yeah, if you're hot enough, he could still like you.
Of course he could. And if you're not, you're not.
Yeah.
Take it from a guy who's frequently not hot enough. It is what it is. Dwayne and Philly, who would win in a fight? Great one. Who would win in a fight, Stephen A. Smith or Serena Williams? Serena Williams in a landslide.
Serena Williams.
Not even a competitive fight.
Can I tell you a funny Stephen A. Smith story?
Only if it in, I don't know if there's any funny ones, unless he gets hit by a bus. I hate Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, no, he
is so patronizing. He's such a buffoon.
I was sitting in coffee shop. This is about 6 years ago. So
okay.
He was not the big presence he is now, but mm-hmm. I heard him on the radio. He walks in with two guys about 10:30 p.m. on a weeknight to coffee shop. I'm sitting there with a friend. And I go, hey, it's Stephen A. Smith. And I just kind of leaned over, reached out my hand to shake his hand and say, hey, Stephen A., I'm a big fan. You know, listen to your show. He gives me a look. Like, he stuck out the hand, didn't hold eye contact during the handshake, was like, already moving on.
I did you a favor.
Oh my God. I've never been big timed by someone with less at the time. Do you know what I mean? Like, he maxed out his big time credit card on one JL purchase.
He is the equivalent, though. Like, he's a black guy, but he's almost wearing blackface. Like, he's such a cartoonishly buffooned up guy.
First of all, Jimmy, if I may pontificate for a brief moment.
We're talking about the New York Knickerbockers. You know, like, everything is so over-enunciated, and he emphasizes, and he tries to do, every stereotypical street thing. It's so patronizing. It's a black Colin Cowherd. Which in any color is bad, because Colin Cowherd's the most patronizing guy in the world. Colin Cowherd's whole show.
Second best radio voice, though, next to Jimmy Fallon.
He's unbearably bad. Colin Cowherd's whole show is about straw men. So he just gives these whole monologues arguing against points no one made. So don't give me the Broncos should trade Peyton Manning. Why would they trade Peyton Manning? He's got the best quarterback in the league. He's got 20 touchdowns. He's got one interception. They're not going to trade Peyton Manning. And I'm like, yeah, nobody said they were going to. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
That's what they say. And I'm like, wait, what? And he's the king of the straw man. But yes, to answer your question, Dwayne.
Serena.
Who would win in a fight? Serena Williams would beat up ESPN in its entirety.
Man.
Yeah.
Serena Williams is Serena Williams, yo. She would beat up me. She would beat up anybody in the studio.
Yeah, she's a beast.
Even JL would probably masturbate during the beating because he's into that.
Well, yeah.
A lot of dark alleys for this gentleman. But Dwayne, we appreciate the reach out. Mark in Williamsburg. Oh, boy.
Beard.
Yeah, it is a beard. You want to know why? What's a better movie? Are you ready for this? This is the most offensive question I've ever been asked on this broadcast. I'm going to try to star 69, the Westboro Baptist Church, to get him back on the phone, because his beliefs are less offensive than the idea that this is a comparable.
Oh, no.
What's a better movie? Taxi Driver, okay?
Yeah.
Or Driver? With Ryan Gosling.
Oh, Drive.
Drive.
The movie where nothing happens.
The most offensively bad movie, and they hyped it so bad.
What bothered me about that movie is I saw it because the reviews were great.
Oh,
and then,
it's awful.
And then I loved the opening sequence, though. Where, you know, he's
hanging out, the gloves, he's going to drive.
Leaves the dude.
Because you think there's
LA
a movie
Clippers,
he's going to follow this.
And then nothing. And it was the weirdest performance I've ever seen.
Ryan Gosling barely talks.
Distance. Yeah. Stares awkwardly and creepily.
Hairpin trigger. We don't know why.
Yeah.
doesn't like his neighbor, but he'll kill you. Everything's in a weird neon blue. It was like a weird, like, it had like a porn vibe, like an 80s porn vibe. And it was trying to be tough. It was like half the Warriors, half 80s porn with this weird brooding thing.
Yeah.
That movie, and it makes sense in Williamsburg that he would compare that to Taxi Driver. There is not one scene in the movie Drive that could justifiably be compared to the cutting room floor of Taxi Driver. I'm talking the lowest moment in making Taxi Driver. Uh-huh. Not one scene. And Ryan Gosling, as Dean Imperio would tell you, is a friend of this program who once tried walking onto the set of a feature film we shot that went straight to Waste Paper Basket. It was Ryan Gosling's birthday. He was walking through Hell's Kitchen with a girl. It was clearly a birthday present to himself. It was like 2 in the morning. And we were literally like dollying in a wheelchair, like shooting with like cell phones, like almost that bad.
Uh-huh.
And he walked right into the set and he's like, "All right, we're ready," you know, to be funny. And I said, "Oh, listen, sorry, we don't have anything, but we'll keep a headshot on file and we'll get back to you if anything opens up." And he just laughed. And she goes, "It's his birthday." That's the girl said, and he was walking her down 43rd Street.
And go blow out his candle, it's, you whore.
Yeah, it's absolutely his birthday because it's the only day of the year he could justify banging you. Would be like, let yourself go, Rye. It's your birthday, you know? But to answer your question, Mark, in Williamsburg, what's a better movie, Taxi Driver or Driver? Don't ever contact this show again. That's the answer. You got
Gosling's,
something?
Gosling's voice is just, it's like he's in permanent sort of later years Marlon Brando. This kind of like, what do you want?
He sucks. Get on with your life. Whoa. I like him as an actor. I hated that movie. It tried way too hard to be like cool and sinister. It tried way too hard. So I say no to that film. That's what I'm trying to say. One more quick one. We got to give out some football picks and get on with our lives. Monica in Westchester. Husband's birthday is coming up this weekend. He is a diehard Giant fan and a diehard Met fan. What should I get him for his birthday? I would say a bullet and a gun.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fair.
Literally.
Sounds like a fair assessment of what that gentleman should be receiving.
Should get him something that's not sports related.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, if you really, you know. Really, if he's a Giant fan and a Met fan at this point, you should get him footage of 9/11. Like, anything's better. Anything's less sad than that. That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Do I say tickets to next season's New York Liberty, or is that too far?
They're going through with that? We're going to get going here in a second. But we shout out Jonathan Randall, who did a bang-up entertainment report. The Fink man, Dave Finkelstein, who helped us break down some news stories. Micah Sherman, best e-cigarette smoker we've had on the broadcast all year. And a great funny guy with a great radio voice, so booming. And we loved him, and he's going to come back on soon. Adrian Hamilton, you held down a full 2 hours of radio. How do you feel about that?
I'm exhausted.
Shut up, Adrian Hamilton. It's too much mockery on the program. JL Corvain, hopefully we've lessened the slight a little bit. A
little bit.
So I know you came on here with visions of doing like a long broadcast. A couple things before we go, because we give out football picks on the show. We're 12-6 on the year. You can tell me you like them. You can tell me you hate them, JL. But here they are, folks. And I give them to you, listener, because I care. I want you to make some money to listen to this program. Is that fair? Does that make me the worst guy in the world? No, I think it makes me a decent guy. So here we go. I like one game the whole weekend. The whole weekend, and I love the game. I like San Diego plus a point and a half at home against the Indianapolis Colts. San Diego plus a point and a half. If you're familiar with this matchup, I'll get you the correct betting percentage. 71% of the betting public betting Indianapolis, which means the house needs San Diego. If you go by the old gambling adage that the house always wins, it means San Diego is going to make you a little bit of money. Okay? And the Colts have done things, let's be fair. The Colts coming off a win against Seattle, a team most people think is the best in the NFL. Mm-hmm. A Colts, they're a team I gave out last week. But there's no loyalty when it comes to betting football. You just know week to week, what have you done? We don't care. I love San Diego plus the points is what I'm trying to say. Show's over. That was it, JL Corvain. You were great. Adrian,
you
were great. Shout out to all of our callers, including those enlightened people over at the Westboro Baptist Church. It's always nice to have that level of intellect on the program. Get down to the Gotham Comedy Club tomorrow night. See the champ in action. Buy my book on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. Be on the lookout for an audio book.
90 seconds.
Oh, shut up. Show's over. Thanks for listening. This is the best we can do.
enjoyed it. It was an unbelievably interesting experience.